What would something look like that, you know, was people like us working, like these people here, working with people that can't be here now and wouldn't be able to be here now? It wouldn't be this. It wouldn't be anything like this. It'd be something really different, something I've never thought of, maybe. But yeah, that's something I'm thinking.
You want to talk about that?
Let's see. I had an idea for something like that all last year and the year before that at the University of Tennessee, where we have a lot of single-issue groups. There's a Muslim Student Association, an NAACP, a Latin American Student Association, SPEAK, the environmental group. There's an Amnesty International. There's a Lambda Student Union. So lots of students splitting off into individual groups. And there were a few who were in several and lots of like cross lines. But I had the idea of starting a film series because I feel like communication is the best, like the fastest way to start drawing these connections. Where I would go and approach each of these diverse groups, ask them what film they want to show, and then invite them to bring a speaker. And so we would show their film, their speaker would talk to the crowd, and the idea was that we would invite all the groups to everyone's film. And hopefully everybody would start to see the connections, like Lambda would start to see the connection between the queer liberation movement and then the history of the civil rights movement if they came to the movie that the NAACP wanted to show. And it started working really well, and we had a really good coalition going, and we really created a kind of activist culture, like a discourse community in UT. And from that, we were able to put on Students for a Just University. It was a great big, like, multi-general issue political party campaign that we were running for student government. And that might seem kind of small time, but UT is like a multi-billion dollar player in the nuclear and oil and energy industry. So we wanted to attack from whatever angle we could. But the sort of situation you're describing that's sort of difficult for any of us to imagine, SJU, those meetings were something like that, Students for Just University, and it was messy as hell. Everybody was awkward. We had no idea how to talk to each other. And it really showed me how much, like, what a sort of lifetime or multiple generations of work there is to do. I was 19 years old and feeling about like feeling my dad's age sitting in that room. It was like as amazing as it was, like it really was more amazing than like depressing, because it's like you were conscious of the fact that the oppression was in the room. It wasn't like repressed, or you weren't in denial about it. We could actually say like I can count my black friends on one hand, you know. And we would just do exercises where we work really hard to make eye contact with each other for extended periods of time. And that's really hard to do. Just wanted to like say that.
Y'all in any student seats? How's it doing?
I'm
asking because we did coalition to the power like 10 years earlier.
Yeah.
And that's how the union got started. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We did a coalition student power thing, because I actually was the one who ran for president, and Cameron was my vice, my VP. And so, like, and
the
we got
same institution,
same institution.
Oh, and, I heard your story.
Lord, it was really cool though. I mean, we figured out how do we get all these damn random people, like, in, because like some of us were in speak and all these
chickens
other things.
Run around with their heads cut off.
I'm telling you, it was really ridiculous. But like because of it, people were ready to work together to start a union.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like, and that's the good thing, right? Like, how do you take that momentum and then?
Yeah.
And to think about what we're up against, the other side, if there is such a thing, basically represents about 10,000 billionaires, have been able to combine their movements. You know, you've got the
far right. They're so good at it.
Yeah. And we have been way too disconnected. But have faith, because the past already shows that this is possible on the left. That the Vietnam War was stopped because groups coalesced in the late 60s. This is why it happened. I mean, you know, the SDS hadn't combined with, you know, 200 other different organizations, including civil rights groups. And everybody finally understood that they were all on the same side. That wouldn't, it wouldn't have worked otherwise. If it had just been the SDS and a few other university groups, it wouldn't have worked. So definitely that's one of the most important parts of a conference like this, is to make sure that we all start coalescing. I mean, the fact that coal and nuclear groups hadn't actually met before is a perfect example of why we have to be more active this way.
So there's that, I guess the thing I run into, like using that word, the word diversity, you know, which to me, like, probably has a good meaning, but, you know, like when you hear a song on the radio over and over again, and it's like a good song, yep, and then like but the radio can completely kill it, like, so, but it's probably, it's sort of like that. So when I hear it, I'm like, but then there's this thing where, so like, you're like, well, we want our event to be diverse. And then we get into this, like the activist pattern thing, which we really tried to avoid. We tried to work against for this, but, like, you know, short time span, like, we don't know where to start half the time. You know, like, we don't know, like, we're like, well, maybe we'll flyer in communities of color, like, that's, which is fucked up, you know? This is the big question for me. This is was actually one of my goals for this convergence, which I wanted to have a discussion, sort of. I didn't actually make this happen at all, but, like, I wanted to have this discussion on, like, how do you do, like, because it seems clear to me that doing solidarity work, like, real solidarity work, is, like, the answer to creating, like, diverse movements. Like, so how do we do this?
So, Randall, did you still want to talk to me? Okay.
I think a very amazing event happened about 6 weeks ago in Atlanta. Social Forum was really amazing. And, like, a lot of people came together. Now, there's certainly critiques that people were pushing their agenda, they were pushing their issue, and they were pushing their campaign, but we worked together.
Yeah.
And I think, like, most relevant to this is that, like, a climate caucus happened there.
Yep.
And met over the course of, like, 3 or 4 days. And then we, like, actually agreed to a statement that had been worked on over 2 years. And so, like, and a lot of that was coming from the environmental justice community, or climate caucus. So, like, there is the groundwork there. And, it, I mean, it's happening. I don't think we need to beat ourselves up and say it's not, this work isn't already happening now. We do have some of these things that are going on.
I think it just has mainly, the place I'm going to start anyway, it doesn't need to be categorical statement, where I'm going to start is looking at my list of friends and reaching out and making myself open to just more different people, because we're working with our friends on this, and so I need to look at who I'm friends with and make new friends.
I'm going to circle. Boom, boom, boom. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right, so I thank you for talking about the U.S. Social Forum, because it took work, though, now. Like, that was work. It was like, all right, like, we're going to get in some buses and we're going to bring people from a lot. Ooh. I mean, it was work, but I think one thing was that there was something that everyone wants to fight for that was universal, you know. And I think that that's really, and I hope that some of y'all can come to the 75th anniversary, because there's going to be an environmental justice, like, discussion with Public Outcry, who's like artists and writers in Kentucky that are their whole thing is around Mount Tar removal, and there'll be people there that do nuclear stuff, but really about how do we get all of us in a room to really push some stuff forward. Because I think that you're right, it's moving, right? I mean, we were talking about what's the first step. You could find the native peoples who were from this area and be like, what do you want us to do? Like, to be accountable and be like, we are in your space. We have stolen your land. Like, now what, you are environmental stewards. Like, you're not for nuclear energy. You've never been for coal. Like, it didn't start 30 years ago or 50 years ago. It started hundreds of years ago, right? So, like, what role should we take? Like, what role do we need to do? Like, what do we need to, and then what do we not do? because I think there are things that all of us have done that probably aren't the most intelligent things. And so it's like, and have hurt, you know, people who live in those places. You know, because I remember I had some friends that did some stuff in Canada, and the indigenous people living there were hurt by their actions, because they never actually were like, oh, by the way, I know you live here. Does this impact you? Like, so what are the repercussions after I leave? Like, they never actually thought about it. And it's like, hello, like, brain thought. And so I think that that's one thing that, you know, that's just the easy piece. Well, maybe it's not easy. But, like, that's, like, you know, one thing that that can be done. You know, and I do think that, you know, trying to figure out what are the roots of it, and like, what are the, and what else is happening? Because I think, thank you for all y'all talking about what else is happening, because I think it's important to hook up to stuff.
Yeah, I was just reminded of something that goes back to the early days of the anti-war movement. In 1967, I went to a meeting of the Vietnam Summer organized by the Southern School Organizing Committee in Raleigh, and there were 15 people, 20 people there at most. That was in 1967. But in 1968, the Tet Offensive events created a massive upsurge, and the movement was ready, thanks to the organizing that had come. I think it was ready. I mean, there was an SDS already that had formed way back in, you know, in the 60s, and there are all kinds of groups already around on most campuses by then. Already there were, you know, Duke. I was at Duke at the time, and Duke had only 3 or 4 people in the movement at the time, but it quickly grew, and Martin Luther King's death created a movement at Duke overnight, with people who had, like me, gone to a few meetings and met some people and so on. So, you know, all of us know that events are going to create the same kind of upsurge. And what happens then is there's cross-fertilization. You know, people who got in because they were being drafted in the war and so on, they suddenly became civil rights warriors too and so on. So, you know, there can't help but happen. It happened to me. And the really positive thing that I see about this is that this is the preparation for the upsurge that's bound to come, because the system is going to create it.
I've noticed from my work that this is the first time in years that one issue has coalesced in everyone's head as an issue that's important, and it's climate change. And you don't have to look too far. You can look at the Newsweek that's floating around back there. You can look at mainstream media right now. You got Oprah doing shows about climate change, okay? This is our window of opportunity to coalesce every different cause. Because the reason that we have trouble in the environmental movement a lot of the times is because we're focused on saying saving national forests. Well, maybe 0.01% of the population has ever been in a national forest. Everybody has to breathe. Everybody's suffering through the worst heat wave in history. Everybody's seeing changes in their lives because of global warming, and it's direct, and it's now, and it's immediate. So it's the galvanizing issue that brings us all together, just like the Vietnam War was back in the 60s.
I just kind of wonder, like, what Randall said a while ago about, like, what, like, one of the things that's really important is look at the ways in which, instead of asking how can we bring people of color in our communities, is, like, asking instead, like, well, what are the people of color doing in their communities? And it's not like communities that aren't ours aren't doing activist work. It's just different activist work. Like, and maybe there's this focus on more immediate needs, and maybe it's like, you know, or maybe their environmental needs are different and they're working on it in different ways. But I think it's really important to say, like, instead of saying they're not here, saying they're doing different work, and like what, and just by acknowledging that, I think it's really important.
I mean, I think one easy thing for people working on mountain removal would be to help people that are trying to unionize, like, coal mine. I mean, like, that's, like, simple, right? Like, if I'm working in a coal mine and I'm trying to unionize my mine, and you're trying to stop mountain removal, that's a really, I mean, like, that's not hard. That's not a hard, like, you know, oh, I can help you unionize, because I know that you also need to eat. You know, I know you need fair wages. So how do I help in a unionizing effort? That, I mean, that's automatic. Like, that's an easy thing that's doable, right? And then from then on, it's like, okay, because everybody knows that coal is killing people. Like, that's not like some random thought that people don't have. Like, you know, and people do know about, I think people know about a lot of the damage stuff. I just think people don't know what to do. I think that's, I think for a lot of people, it's like, well, how do I, what do I actually do to, like, you know, to stop it?
Similar, like with what you were saying, I think that was a really, that's a really great point, and it's funny that it should be really obvious, like, instead of saying, like, why don't these people come to my meetings, you know, like, then why don't you just go to their meetings and see what they're doing? And I think that for the last couple of years, I've been working in coalfield communities on, like, education and arts issues, and you meet these people who, in 10 minutes, can have a meeting with 70 people about the PTA, and then they can, like, raise $9 million, yep. And, like, everybody in the tri-state area, yep. comes, and then it's, like, this huge thing. But if you're, like, and I was just wondering how you feel about the fact that, like, your well doesn't work because of the coal mine, they'll be, like, they just won't even talk to you, you know? And so realizing the priorities in the communities and realizing that those communities are not weak because they don't care about your issue, and maybe you from an outside perspective think, like, oh my gosh, if this is the issue, and it is a pretty serious issue, but, like, that they're not, you know, and I think that was a really, I just wanted to expand on a point that you made because I thought it was really great, and I think, like you said, like, the union is one, but I think in a lot of ways, like, education.
Yeah.
I really don't want to break up the discussion at all, but I just wanted to check in with people. We have some independent media here that came from Tennessee, and just wondering how people thought about them observing or something. If not, if it'll break up the flow.
Also, we're about, like, 5 minutes to lunch, so I was going to, I have to walk over on the schedule hounder and ring the bell, but, you know, I was going to suggest that we get our food and reconvene, maybe under the polar bear tent. So then you wouldn't really do it here, I guess.
Well, hungry. But you guys got some good exercise.
Let's see what people think about them at all.
Yeah, I mean, just after the, I'm just letting you know, it'll probably be in a different place.
What if you don't show up in photographs?
Again.
If you don't show up in photographs, your actual vibration is at 60.
Oh my! Oh.
So
I'm okay with it.
So what do people?
Teach me that.
Where are people at about the indie media?
That's fine. Yeah, fine. They're here.
It's great. Media.
Any
good.
Concerns? Or do people have? Or people want to not be photographed?
So
why don't we break now? Actually, no.
Did you? They walked all the way over with a camera. Why don't we let them shoot the
circle? Yeah. Okay, you should shoot. Okay, good point. I'm sorry, I forgot. Thank you.
Yeah, because it's beautiful. The scenery is beautiful.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Of course, you guys look great.
Great. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Sorry.
You're wonderful.
So what's the game plan again?
Let's freak them out. Let's all go like this at once.
We're going to be here 5 or 10 more minutes, and they'll shoot to get their picture of us here. We'll just continue the discussion here, I guess, and then try to wrap it up in 10 minutes, move it over, get lunch, and reconvene under the polar bear tent. Does that sound good?
Keep on trucking.
That worked for me. Is that all right? Everybody, was that okay for everybody?
Yeah. Does everybody understand it?
Everybody look relaxed.
Does everybody understand what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Grand. I saw a hand, but I can't remember who it was. Maybe I didn't. Okay.
Oswald, can you refocus us and take us in a different direction? On the same direction?
Yeah, I can. So, I'm not saying my brain just was like, oh, it just got really warm. and my glasses have been fogging up the whole day. Okay, that has nothing to do with the third year. So, I mean, one thing that I would love to know from you all, because I think part of it is, like, how do you create an anti-oppressive space, like, here now, because that's what you were talking about, right? So, like, are there things that can be done, like, currently, right at this moment, that and I mean, that's beyond, like, next year, but right, but, like, are there things that are happening in this space? Because I think sometimes things happen and people don't actually talk about it, like, are the same 12 people talking all the time, right? Like, here we're gonna do a go around, because there's like 5 people I haven't actually heard their voices, and that's kind of sad to me because I want to hear all of you. So I mean, like, are there things that you would like? So, how about this? I would love to know what each of you wants to talk about, or an issue or something that is on your mind, so that when we get back together, we can discuss that. Is that okay? Since we only have a couple minutes, and just to let you know, I will be asking all of you your success stories, because I think we all learn from success. Like, we need stories of resistance and stories of success, and that's how we learn from each other. So get that in your brain while you're getting your food. But are there things that people would like to talk about for the next hour? We'll start with you.
I can't go first. I don't know.
Oh. Okay, who can go first?
I don't know. A few people throwing out there the, like, just exploring the idea more of, like, this tension between diversifying your group versus, yeah, like, working in solidarity
with
groups that are different than your own. So I think that would be really good.
Let's go in a circle. Randall?
Well, I guess I'll just put it out there. I mean, there is an anti-oppression policy that we developed for this convergence, and effectively everyone's agreed to it.
So okay, sure.
We've all committed to anti-oppression work here and now, and once we've done it here and we're aware of it, then we can move forward.
I think I'd really like to talk more about, like, kind of what Claire mentioned earlier that really wasn't addressed, is, like, how... like, how do we work with that dynamic that a lot of the people who are working in companies that, you know, we oppose are often people who may need that job as a job, and nobody else is willing to take it if they're that privilege.
New ways of communicating, especially, like, media that we have right here, because this is really something that makes, like, our generation and our politics... different from anything in human history, the rapidity of communication. And I'd like to talk about how we can use that to help us fight oppression, like, within ourselves and within our groups.
Where?
Two things. One isn't so much we need to talk about, but somehow we need to resource share coming out of this event. How to, what are communication mechanisms that are working where groups are communicating? What's good experience on that? And secondly, I've heard two calls since I came up the hill today about connecting with Indigenous people in this area. And I'm totally there in it happening, but I'm totally not there in having connections or resources or networks. So I'd like to put out to the people here that, you know, we should think about what connections we already have.
There's so much that could be to workshop already for the next thing. I'd like to hear a little bit more about looking at what we're doing as preparation, like Harley's saying, for that event that is gonna throw it into, you know, full swing or whatever. I feel like the nukes movement has always been in that mode as long as I've been around it. And climate change is probably the same. You know, we had Katrina already, but, you know, what's gonna be the next thing, and how are we gonna be prepared to, you know, like, resistance movements in this country were, I think, grossly unprepared to respond to 9/11. And so, yeah, where does that place us?
Communication. I'm into podcasting and new to the environmental scene, so the area that I'm trying to contribute is the communication. There's a lot of people, you mentioned the coal miners that are actually working. Their voices need to be heard. You know, we're not hearing them, but it'd be real easy to work with them to get their voices out via all the communication that's available to us. Really inexpensive doing it via podcasting. Trying to make an offer to a lot of people. Come on, let's get together and help me spread the word that this is a way to get it out to a lot of people.
I like to talk about how to go from how to make your policy real. Because I think a lot of times we do good at making policies, but the actual action doesn't really happen. And that's what I like to do.
I would like to actually talk about sort of that one of the big elephants that isn't under the canopy here that I guess it's coming up in a workshop, but... there's obviously, we all understand there's a tremendous link between the war in Iraq and possibly, this is, would be maybe one of those events, coming bombing of Iran. which I'm reasonably convinced is going to happen, and that would be the big event. And so what we need to also think about is understanding the relationship between what we're doing and that other issue, which is actually dominating the fears and the haunting the dreams and and troubling the sleep of maybe as many people as climate change. And we need to be prepared to sort of, I think, move in that direction, and that, because one of the mantras of the movement back in the 70s was, you've got to go where the people are, you know, so the people are going to be on the street demonstrating against the bombing of Iran or something. That's where you want to make that connection. And so I'm talking to diversification, preparation for the big event, and also a better communication.
Like you have a brief story to explain my topic, but I was working doing paperwork for this environmental law firm. We were working all weekend and we took a break in the middle of the day. We're all laying on this bed talking about our first kisses, and then all of a sudden somebody was like, we were suing Massey, and someone was like, I wonder what Massey's law firm is doing right now. I was thinking they're probably not like laying on a bed like bonding and like exposing parts of themselves to each other. And so the point of that is that I think that one of the reasons that we are stronger is because of the way we interact. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was Randall who talked about tying it back into like, what are our goals of interaction? Why is that a goal? Like, why do we go for consensus over somebody telling us what to do, even though consensus is really slow and pretty annoying? And so, like, why are those our goals, and how do we make that happen in a real way and not just in talk? Like, talk, I want everybody's voice to be heard, but I want everyone to hear my voice. You know what I mean? Like, how do you do that? So,
when I try to think about what it is that I want to hear, you know, what I want to talk about or what I want to talk about, it's pretty much absolutely everything that I'm hearing from everyone as they're going around a circle. You know, it's like, what do I even add to that? Like, just bring it on.
Yeah, I guess same thing with me. Let's see. I want to get concrete, like, maybe if someone has a story, like, you shared yours, but maybe, like, of a story of going into a totally unfamiliar situation, you've made the decision, like, I want to cross this barrier of, like, skin color or something like that, and how you went about it. I mean, you know, if we're going to meetings every week, it's hard to think outside of that box. And so, you know, like Mary, you're talking about, think about who your friends are. And I don't know, I guess I've just been thinking a lot about it lately. Like when I was 10 years old, like two-thirds of my friends were like a really, you know, they're black, and how, like, what switched, and I don't even know how I would reconnect with those people. And so yeah, I guess I'm actually interested in that fundamental question. And I also feel like I should really point out that I don't think consensus is annoying, and I think it's a really good process.
This patience.
I'm kind of interested in internalized depression, how people deal with that. Like, Zane was talking about the people who can organize a PTA meeting and get a huge fundraiser going on, but they won't talk about their will. And it's like, why would they talk about that? Sometimes it's actual real financial ties, or sometimes it's just, that's the way it is, it's how it's always been, and they don't want to deal with it. But, like, why, and how to break that.
Environmental justice, whatever, like, I want to know what that means, you know? Like, in a, like, like, I want to explore that, like, get into, like, the nitty-gritty, and, like, I guess I was just thinking about that, the whole, like, quantifying versus qualifying thing, like, talk about, like, people as, like, numbers, and, like, also I want to like look at the quality of the things we're doing more instead of just like getting like the people to rise up or whatever. But like that's I guess sort of getting into like the consent, like the process, like the ways, the means and stuff. That's good. And also I really want to talk about the solidarity thing, like just how to do real solidarity with stuff.
I like how you were talking about how to figure out how to make like anti-oppression policies like real so that they actually happen. And I think that a good like thing that we all do at specifically at, like conferences and stuff is we have meetings and we have workshops and we deal with consensus and facilitation. And so I don't know, just like it'd be cool to talk about kind of concrete methods of facilitation and of like self-facilitation to try and, you know, make sure that like every time there's a group of people talking, you know, safe for everybody.
I would like to spend more time on talking about how like people benefit from privilege and how those benefits can like change people's perspectives and how to like break down that perspective so you can kind of like come together with people who don't have the same privilege and try to understand each other more.
I'll close with saying that Buckminster Fuller, the author of Nine Chains of the Moon, said that there's a possibility that the Earth could actually support about 16.5 billion human beings. We can't even keep about 6 billion human beings alive on this planet the way that we're all acting. So another quote of his is, two steps forward, one step back. Don't give up. We're going to win. We have no choice. We're done.
You're actually not the closer.
I'd like to see population discussed as an issue.
Your turn.
I guess I'd just like to talk about how to get more people involved in the environmental movement, because I think people stereotype environmentalists as just being like crazy hippie anarchists, basically, and I think we need to break away from that and involve more different types of people in it.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So the polar bear tent, after we have some food.